We come to Anaheim, California, to declare tonight, Jesus, there's no God like your Holy. Nobody. Nobody. Not Buddha, nor Mahant, nor Sun, nor Moon.
And I just want to welcome you, glory to God, to Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to say thank you to everyone who has tuned in. Thank you for all you on the phone lines. Thank you for everyone in the chat room. Thank you for everyone who's going to be listening in the archives. Glory to God. Now, how many of you know that I've been up all day? And I have not yawned or anything all day long until right now when the broadcast starts. But guess what? We know that we have a true enemy, and I just thank God on tonight because he is so smart and he knows exactly what he's doing. It's just so funny how the enemy comes and tries to bring distraction, you know, and trying to make you tired when you... I rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. But you know how when you just get ready to do something for the Lord, the enemy just wants to come in and act cuckoo. But we just want to praise God and give God the glory on tonight because he truly is worthy to be praised. How many of you know that God is worthy to be praised? If you know he's worthy, you can just praise him where you are right now and just begin to tell him thank you. Just begin to worship him and praise him. Why? Because he's God. And there's nobody like Jehovah. There's nobody like him. You can't find anybody like him. I don't care how far you look or how high you look or how low you look. You can't find nobody like Jehovah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just want to say I thank God for that because he is just truly awesome. There is no other God. I was looking today at this movie pertaining to, actually it was about the life of Muhammad Ali. And, you know, it was showing how he had changed from, you know, whatever he was and to changing to, you know, accept the teaching and doctrines of the Muslim faith, and it was him acting in this movie, and I was just looking at how he just really went in and when he made up his mind that he was going to be Muslim, he was going to be Muslim, and it didn't matter what the government thought about it, because actually what he was doing was using his Muslim faith to not go into the military. And the people were saying that, you know, you just want to be a Muslim now because you don't want to go into the military, you don't want to serve your country. And I just thought it was very profound how when he decided that he was going to be Muslim, how he stood his ground. He even was willing to go to jail for 5 years or however long it took because he was going to stand on his faith. And his faith was, you know, I'm not going to go to this war and I'm not going to kill people because my faith says that we're not supposed to kill people. And I was like, you know what, that we should stand up for our faith that way. We should be able to stand up for our faith, and no matter what, you know, we should be able to just stand and say, this is what I believe, and this is what I'm going to stand on, no matter what. And Jesus tells us, you know, that we're going to be persecuted for our faith. And I tell you, even though Muhammad Ali, in this movie, it was a true story about his life, but in the movie, it was showing how his attorneys were, you know, fighting for him and how they were going to, you know, fight until the end and make it, you know, they were going to appeal for him and everything else. And we have someone that appeals for us. We have Jesus who sits on the right hand of the Father who is there for us pleading our case. And, you know, we still don't stand up for what we believe. And I just want to know on tonight, do we even know what we believe? Are we being 100%? And no, I know we're not being 100%. If we were being 100%, if we were standing on the word of God, if we were standing up for our faith, then I don't think a lot of things that are happening now would be happening. So tonight I just want to ask you the question, like Paul asked in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? So before we get into this, we're just going to stop right now. And we're going to get a word of prayer in here. And we want God to just come in by his Holy Spirit and take over this broadcast and, you know, have his way, because I don't want it to be about me, and I don't want there to be any personal attacks against anyone or any religion. But I want us to come into the knowledge of the truth of God's word, because you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Glory to God. So, Heavenly Father, I want to just come into your presence, first of all, thanking you for even allowing me and us into your presence, Heavenly Father. Father, because you are a holy God. You are a holy, holy God. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for allowing me to even approach you in your holiness, Lord God. And I know that I have fallen short. I've fallen short. I have sinned and fallen short of your glory, Lord God, and we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. So I just want to take this opportunity to acknowledge your holiness and just thank you for allowing us to come into your presence, Lord God. I just want to personally thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, because right at this moment, Lord God, I just feel your holiness, Lord God. I know that you are a holy God. I thank you. I thank you for even putting it in my spirit and in my mind to even say, Lord, thank you for allowing us into your presence, hallelujah, because you don't have to do it, Lord. You don't have to allow us into your presence. But I thank you on tonight that you've given us access to yourself. You've given us, Lord God, the opportunity to come before you, a holy God. A holy God, a sinless God. Hallelujah, glory to God. I thank you. I thank you, Heavenly Father. My soul is thank you for allowing me to come into your presence. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I just want to thank you right now, Lord God. Hallelujah, as I sit here, Lord God, entering into your presence, Lord God, with thanksgiving. Enter into your courts with praise, Lord. I worship you on tonight. I bless your name, hallelujah, for you truly have been good to us, oh God. And, Father, we truly say thank you on tonight. Thank you for allowing us into your presence. Thank you for allowing us to approach you as a holy God, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, for we realize that we are less than perfect. Father, we realize that we sin, Lord God, and we fall short of your glory. But, Father, we just want to thank you on tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for letting us approach you. Thank you for allowing us into your presence. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, oh God. Father, and I thank you, Lord God, as we approach you, Lord God, as we come before your presence, as we come before your holiness, as we come before you, oh sovereign God. I ask you, Father, that you forgive us. Forgive us for our sins, Lord God. Forgive us, Father, for our thoughtlessness, Lord God. Forgive us for being unthankful. Forgive us, Father, for being unholy. Forgive us, Father, for being unclean. Forgive us for being unrighteous, Lord God. In Jesus' name, forgive us, Lord God. You sent your Son, Jesus. You sent the very expression of yourself, Jesus Christ, to come into this world, to die on our behalf, Father God. So right now, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for doing what you did for us. I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. I thank you for wrapping your virtue, Lord God, your character, yourself, in a body, hallelujah, in the form of Jesus coming to this earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For my sins, for our sins, Lord God. Hallelujah, and for the sins of those yet to come, Father. But, Father, on tonight, I just want to thank you, and I bless your name. I ask your Holy Spirit to come in and lead us and guide us into all truth on tonight. I ask you, Father God, that those that are listening, Lord God, on the broadcast tonight via phone or via internet, Lord God, and even those that are in, Lord God, hallelujah, the archives, Father, that if anybody would tune into this broadcast who is not born again, if anybody would tune into this broadcast, oh God, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I ask, Father God, that you will bring them into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you will bring them, Lord God, into the knowledge of who you are, that they might form a relationship with you, that they will understand the need for salvation, Father God, and I thank you for that right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every soul to be saved. I thank you for every soul to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and I thank you and I glorify your name, Father. And while I'm praying, I ask you, Lord God, I just lift up this mother, Ivory Walker, to you, Lord God. Lord, her son is missing. She don't know where he is, Lord God. He's 15 years old, and Father, I ask that you would send your angels, Lord God, to where her son is, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will bring him home safely, Father God, in the name of Jesus, safe from harm and danger, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to send your minister in spirits, Lord God. Send them to find this child, Lord God, and bring him home safely to his mother, oh, Father God, and his family, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you to do this, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I will thank you for it, Lord God, right now, in advance, in Jesus' name. Father, everybody that's listening that needs healing, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, everybody that needs deliverance from alcohol, drugs, Lord God, pornography, Lord God, sexual addiction, Lord God, lying, stealing, backbiting, Lord God, disobedience, rebellion, Lord God, hurt from the past, Lord God, deep-seated hurt, Lord God, deep-rooted hurts, Lord God. Father, I just ask you to deliver them now, tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. And, Father, I thank you right now and give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So on tonight, Lord, we just, hallelujah, welcome again everyone joining us on the phone lines, everyone joining us on the internet, Lord God, everybody in the chat room, and everybody that will be listening to this in the archives. Today is Monday, November the 14th, 2011. I mean, it's just amazing that it's almost December. It's almost the end of 2011. Glory to God. And my question would be to you on tonight, as well as to myself, remember, when I say things, I'm first partaker. So if you hear me constantly saying you, please understand that I'm speaking to myself as well. I am counted in the you when I'm speaking on these broadcasts, glory to God. I am not exempt from anything that the Lord allows to come forth. I'm not exempt. I'm first partaker, glory to God, hallelujah. So I'd like to say that the Apostle Paul was an awesome guy. God used him mightily. And can I just say that Paul was not a perfect man? Can I just say that before his name was changed to Paul, his name was Saul, and he was a persecutor of the church. Can I say that how Saul took pleasure in persecuting the children of God? Can I just let you know that Saul took full advantage of persecuting the children of God? Hallelujah. But God got Saul's attention on the road to Damascus. God got his attention on the road to Damascus. And I'm wondering right now, are any of us on the road to Damascus? Are any of us who are listening right now, do any of us need to be knocked off of our horse and blinded for a few days, you know, and allow God to speak to us, you know, and then, you know, once we come out of our blindness, you know, we come out as a new creation in Christ Jesus, because that's exactly what happened to Paul. He got knocked off his horse, hallelujah. And what he thought he was doing God a favor when he was persecuting the church. He thought he was doing him a favor, but in reality he realized he was hurting God. And God had to get his attention to use him mightily. God's intention was to use Saul, to change his name to Paul and use him mightily. Glory to God. I want to know if any of us on our horses on tonight. I was getting ready to say high horse, but are any of us on a horse that we need to get knocked off of tonight in order for God to use us, in order for us to go forth the way God wants us to go forth in the ministry? Any of us here tonight in the chat room, on the phone line, in the archives, any of us that God needs to knock off a horse to get our attention, glory to God. And I'm saying this, in the topic of tonight is call a spade if we continue in sin, are we sinners? If we continue in sin, are we sinners? And sadly and mistakenly, people, human nature tends to have us believe that we can continue in sin and just go to God and say, Lord, I repent. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But continue in sin anyway. Human nature, our sin nature, would have us to believe that God, who created man in his image and his likeness, who breathed into the man that he made, and man became a living soul. Human nature coupled with the lies of Satan would have us to believe that God is so shallow, and God is so, his love is just so great that, you know, we could just treat him any way we want to. But I want to expose the lie on tonight, and I want to spread the truth. I just want us to come out of the lies that Satan tells. I want us to come out of the lies that we tell ourselves to feel better about what we do. I want us to come out of blindness and begin to walk in the truth of God's word, because no matter what we tell ourselves, no matter what lies Satan tries to bring us to distort the word of God, the truth of the matter is this. God is not stupid on no day, okay? God knows that sin is sin, but the whole point or the ta-da of the whole thing is that God knows our heart. So no matter how we try to justify what we do, no matter how we try to justify what we say, no matter how we try to justify what we don't do that we're supposed to do, God knows our hearts. I need for all of us to understand that God is not slow, God is not ignorant, God is not stupid, God is not deaf, God is not blind. God is God, and I think it would behoove us to get to know God, who he really is. Our finite minds cannot know God in his totality, but we can know God better than we do know him. A lot of times we get in trouble because we try to know God with head knowledge, and the natural mind cannot receive the things of God, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. The things of God are spiritually discerned. So it is impossible for us to understand God in our natural minds. This is another reason why we need the Holy Ghost. This is another reason why we need the Holy Ghost. This is another reason why we need the Holy Spirit in us, because our natural minds cannot receive the things of God. And we as humans try to understand God in our human understanding, and it cannot be done. We cannot understand God with our human reasoning, with our minds, with our thoughts and our will and our emotions. We cannot understand God that way. We must understand God in the spirit. Why? Because God is spirit. And I believe we talked about this on Saturday, but God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you go back to the broadcast on 11/12/2011, we spoke about this. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. And I thank God for these broadcasts, because not only am I, God is allowing me to minister to other people, but the Holy Spirit is ministering to me, because, I mean, even as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit just begins to minister to me to let me know, you know, say this and say that. And I'm first partaker, but I just appreciate the Holy Spirit, and I appreciate how he's just bringing it to me that we have to stop trying to worship God and understand God with our head knowledge, because our head knowledge is going to cause us to lack in our relationship with God. Our head knowledge is going to tell us that it's okay for us to sin, because God is a God of love, and God's going to overlook what we do. Our head knowledge is going to tell us that it's okay to, you know, continue what we're doing. It's okay to keep lying. It's okay, because God understands that, you know, you have to lie. You have to lie to get through, you know, because otherwise you're not going to get what you need to get if you don't lie, because, you know, God, he too busy doing whatever he's doing to really deal with you right now. So our head knowledge is causing us to be separated from God, but causing us also to think that we're good with God and everything is gravy. And we need to understand that we need to go to God in spirit. We need to go to God and say, God, look, I thought I knew you, but I really don't. Help me worship you in spirit. Help me. I need your Holy Spirit. I can't live right. without your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit to teach me. I need your Holy Spirit to lead me. I need your Holy Spirit to guide me. This is what I need. And don't you know that God will grant that to you? Don't you know that God is, he's not selfish. He's not stingy. If God says that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, don't you know that he will give you his Holy Spirit so that we can learn how to worship him in spirit and in truth? It's not head knowledge. I was speaking with someone on Sunday, coming back from Baltimore, and I was listening to what she was saying, and she was saying how, you know, when I go to church and I worship the Lord, she said, I worship the Lord. It's me and him. She said, and, you know, I see people dancing before the Lord, you know, we call it shouting before the Lord, you know, praising the Lord in the dance. She said, and I haven't done that yet. She said, but when I do, I want it to be God. I want it to be God doing it. I don't want to do it out of emotions. I don't want to do it because everybody else is doing it. I want to do it because it's the Spirit of God moving in me to cause me to do that. So therefore, if I never dance like other people do, it's okay, because if God didn't move on me to do it, I don't want to do it. And she doesn't know that when she said it, I was just listening to her, but I was really hearing what she was saying, because, you know, I've been in church for a long time, and I've seen people act on their emotions. I acted on my emotions. I've acted, you know, on the beat of the music. I've acted, you know, at the prompt of a man that says, okay, now praise the Lord, and you got to do it this way, and you got to do it that way. No. When I'm learning, the older I get, and the more of the Lord that I come to understand in the spirit, not my natural mind, but in the spirit, I'm coming to understand that we have to move in the spirit of God, not our emotions, because our emotions will have us doing all kinds of things that God is not even a part of. Our emotions will have us thinking, you know, oh, you know, I'm in the presence of God, but not really in the presence of God. We're just acting out of emotions. You know, some people can't worship God and praise God unless, you know, the drums are beating, or, you know, the keyboard is playing or whatever. And if that's what gets you into the spirit, okay, but most people, you don't hear that until you go to church on Sunday. So what do you do Monday through Saturday when you don't have the, you know, the organ and the drums and the tambourines and the, you know, the guitars and the horns? What do? We just in a lull until Sunday comes back around? Okay. So anyway, we want to get back to the topic. It's call a spade a spade. If we continue in sin, are we sinners? The answer is yes. And we want to read the book of Romans tonight. We want to start in Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bible, please get your Bible out. Please get a paper and pencil. And I would like for you to write these scriptures down, because we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is spirit. The Word of God is spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus said. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? We need to understand that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Okay? Jesus is the Word. You can read that in John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. Jesus is the Word. You can't separate Jesus from the Word, because Jesus is the Word. Okay. Jesus is the Word. If you read the book of John chapter 6, okay, you will see the words that says, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they are life. This is why we need to read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God day and night. the more of the spirit that you get into you, the more you begin to understand God in the spirit. We cannot, I can't stress this enough, we cannot know God in our natural, finite minds because God is a spirit. God is spirit. It doesn't matter what you've heard. You cannot worship God out of your own mind. He is spirit. We have to get to know God in the spirit. Okay? God is spirit. There's nothing that we can do about it. He just is. Okay? Somebody said, well, where did God come from? I don't know. He's just God. He just was. He just will always be. Okay? It doesn't matter where he came from, how he got here. He's God. He's always been here. That's why he's God and we're not. You turn to John chapter 4, verse 24. It says, God is spirit. This is telling you right here who God is. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no other way to worship God. There is no other way to worship God except in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. He is spirit. He's not a spirit. God is spirit, okay? God is, there's a whole lot of spirits walking around in this earth, okay? Satan's agents, a lot of those spirits walking around. But God is spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit, okay? We can't worship a spiritual God out of our natural minds. We try to. We try to reduce God to our human thinking, but we can't reduce God to our human thinking. That's not who he is. He wants us to come into the knowledge of who he is, but the only ways that we can come into the knowledge of who God is by reading the word of God and meditating on it. Shirley, I have decided that you can come and get this red Bible. God will provide another one for me. So you can come get this Bible because I don't want to be a hindrance to anybody coming to the knowledge of who God is, okay? I don't want anybody to be able to say, well, she had a Bible, but she wouldn't give it to me. No, you can have it because I want you to come into the knowledge of who God is. Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. We just read this. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. If you don't know the truth, you can't worship him in truth. If you don't know God by the Spirit, you can't worship God in spirit. And this is what we need to do. We need to worship God in the Spirit and come out of our natural minds because our natural minds tell us things that are totally against God. And I still want to get back to the topic, but it seems like we're going into this in this direction of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But it comes back to the topic of what we, you know, talking about is that, you know, call a spade a spade. If you continuously live in sin, and I'm talking about everything you do is a habitual sin, you still live in the same lifestyle you live in before, you know, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And before I forget, let me say this. On Wednesday, the 16th of November, my husband, Bishop Scott, will be taking over the broadcast. He will be talking about lordship. He will be talking about lordship because a lot of us call and say, Lord, Lord, and this is one of the reasons, and I thank God that this teaching is coming, is because the Bible tells us that not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. And he's going to go over these scriptures, and he's going to expound on them and let us understand what does it really mean to call Jesus Lord. We say Jesus is Lord. We say Jesus is my Lord. But what does it really mean to say that Jesus is Lord? does it really mean to say that Jesus is Lord? So he's going to expound on that, Lord willing, on Wednesday, the 16th of November at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So if you'd like to tune into that, I invite you to tune into that because it's going to be a really good teaching. So what else I'd like to say is this, that we need to come clean with God and we need to be real with God because guess what? We need to really be real with ourselves because God already know the deal. You know what I'm saying? God already know the deal. So we need to really come clean and just tell God, look, I've been trying to worship you, and I see I'm not getting any results because I've been trying to worship you out of my natural mind. Now, Lord, I'm ready to learn how to worship you in spirit and in truth, okay? We just got finished talking about John chapter 6, okay, verse 63. That's 6:63. John chapter 6, verse 63, okay? So Jesus says, the words that I speak are spirit and life. And then we want to go back to a spade being a spade because we need to just call it what it is, okay? As I said earlier, God is not stupid. God is not blind. God is not crazy on no day, okay? God is God. And Paul asked the question in Romans chapter 6, the very first verse, okay? I wish somebody would, you know, was on the phone line that I actually could talk to. So you could read the scripture, read it out loud. The word of God says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. I'm just going to read it out loud myself if I can see this. And Paul, what I like about Paul is that Paul, he asked you a question. And he sounded like he was surprised the way it's written. It's like, what shall we say then? He got a question right there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's two questions in one verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin? Okay? Paul was trying to dispel, he was trying to get rid of the erroneous ideas that people had, believing that they could stay in sin and still go to heaven. They could stay in sin and God's grace was going to cover them. They could still stay in sin and do what they want to do, and God's grace was just going to, you know, magically erase everything that they do. So you could just continue to be a hoe and, you know, every day say, I'm sorry, God, or God, you understand that I'm just a hoe and I can't help it. And then it's supposed to be okay. And then when you die, it's just going to be okay. You could just go to heaven. No. Okay? We take the grace of God and just piss all over it. We take the grace of God and act like, oh, well, you know, we living in a dispensation of grace, so I could just do what I want to do because God is, you know, he going to cover that anyway because he a God of grace and mercy, you know, so he understand the deal. Me and him good like that. No. That's an understanding out of our natural mind, and God wants us to come out of our natural minds. God is calling us to a spiritual level in him. People walking around talking about God's calling you to a higher level. God is calling us to the spiritual level. You cannot get any higher than the spiritual level in God. He wants us to come out of our own understanding. He wants us to acknowledge the fact that we've been operating out of our natural minds, those of us who have been operating out of our natural minds, and he wants us to come into the knowledge of the truth of his word and say, God, I have not been understanding you out of the spirit. I've been trying to reason with you out of my natural mind, but God, tonight I throw my hands up, I give it up, I'm coming to you. I want to know you, God, in the spirit, and I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. We will continue to, people say, I fell into sin. We will continue to fall into sin. We will continue to operate in sin. We will continue to find it harder to come out of sin as long as we try to serve God out of our natural minds. And I promise you this on tonight, that God does not want us to try to serve him or worship him out of our natural minds, because he knows that we cannot. God is not a man. He is not a natural human man. God is spirit, and we got to get to know him in the spirit. And the ways that we get to know him in the spirit are getting this word of God, reading this word of God, humbling ourselves to this word of God, and allowing this word of God to change us, and allowing this word of God to teach us who God is in the spirit, and to understand him in the spirit. Because guess what? We will look at the word, and we will take the word of God in our natural mind, and we say, you know what? God expects too much from us. God, every time you turn around, God is saying, don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do that. But God wants us to come to know him in the spirit. His word, when once we begin to know him in the spirit, we will see things changing in our lives. We won't act the same way. We won't do the same things that we've been doing. We will live a life so as not to offend God. We will learn to hate sin. We will learn to hate anything that looks like sin. We will learn to hate anything that smells like sin. But we got to come to know God in the spirit, because this is what God is telling me on tonight, is that we are trying to serve God out of our natural minds, and this is what the holdup is. Glory to God. And I thank you, Lord God, for the answer on tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for revealing this, God. You know why I'm telling you thank you, because I asked you something specific, and God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because we've been looking at things in the natural. We've been looking at things in the natural, and God wants us not to look at these things in the natural, but God wants us to come to him and seek him in the spirit, not out of our head knowledge, because our head tells us stuff that's just not right, and God wants us to get it together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This, I'm excited right now. I don't know if you can tell if I'm excited, but right now I just got so excited behind that, because we've been, I'm going to use myself as an example. I have been asking God stuff, and I've been looking for an answer, but I've been looking for the answer in the natural realm. Glory to God. But God wants me to look in the spiritual realm, because I cannot know him out of head knowledge. I've been wondering why this and wondering why that. It's because I've been looking at it from the natural standpoint, and God wants us to look at things in the spirit. Glory to God. I'm really excited about this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God for this one tonight. Y'all think this broadcast was for whoever it was for, but it was for me on tonight. Glory to God. And I just thank God for that, because God just spoke a word to me. God just spoke a word to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got to know God in the spirit. God is not like us. We get it so twisted that God is like us. God is not like us. He is not like us at all. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. God was not born in sin, nor was he shaped in iniquity. Okay? God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man that he should lie. God is not us. He is not like us. Okay? But we are supposed to be striving to be like him. We are supposed to be striving to be like him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So our natural minds cannot receive the things of God. All right? All right. Let's read that, okay? The natural mind, let me tell you how bad the natural mind is. Hold on for just a second. And I'm going to tell you. We're going to go to this scripture right now. And my help is not on the line tonight. My husband, the natural mind cannot receive the things of the spirit, okay? we want to turn to that. Please write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep your hand in Romans chapter 6 because we're going back there. And I really need somebody to, I need to be in Bible study, somebody to come, you know, call and talk to me, and we read the scriptures out loud. I was taught a long time ago that we need to speak the scriptures out loud, not just read them, but say them out loud so we can hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me just read. We got a little time. Let me start at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Where's my other Bible? "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." All right, just hold on for a second. I got to get my other Bible. I'm going to read this out of the other Bible, out of the other translation, I should say, so that it can be a little clearer what we're reading, because we want everybody to get an understanding what we're talking about on tonight. So 1 Corinthians, praise the Lord, chapter 2. I'm going to read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I didn't use lofty words and brilliant ideas to tell you God's message. For I decided to concentrate only on Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and the message and my preaching," it says, "and my message and my preaching were very plain. I did not use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I did this so that you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom." You heard that? Paul said, "I did this so that you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom." He says, "Yet when I am among mature Christians, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, and not the kind that appeals to the rulers of this world who are being brought to nothing. No, the wisdom we speak of is the secret wisdom of God, which was hidden in former times, though he made it for our benefit before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would never have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, 'No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.' But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And his Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets." Okay? "No one can know what anyone else is really thinking except that person alone. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us his Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you this, we do not use words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. We who have the Spirit understand these things, but others can't understand us at all. How could they? For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give him counsel? But we can understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Okay? For we have the mind of Christ. Now, Paul says that nobody can understand, the world can't understand what we're saying because they're of the world. Welcome, husband. How you doing? I just said you weren't here, and you just showed up. Glory to God. So in this version of the Bible that I just read, which is the New Living Translation, the King James Version says, and I'm not going to read the whole King James Version, that chapter in the whole King James Version, but it says to us, the point that I was trying to make is that in verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Okay? We're going back to that thing about you have to know God in the spirit. And honey, you just joined us on the broadcast, but I just wanted to recap a little bit. We were talking about, and God, I thank God because he's just so smart, and he let me know that, you know, some of the things that you and I were discussing, you know, I've been trying to understand the will of God from my human reasoning. And God was just letting me know by his Holy Spirit that we cannot understand what he wants in our human reasoning. We have to understand what he wants from the spirit, because God is spirit. There's no way that our natural man can understand the things of God. Our natural man cannot understand the things of God, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And why are they spiritually discerned? Because God is a spirit. Okay, God is a spirit. God is spirit, the word of God says. He is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Must worship him in spirit and truth. Must. It's like, okay, we can't get around it. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth, because that's who he is. He is spirit. God is spirit. Okay? So I do thank God for that understanding. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go back to the topic again, and I keep trying to stay on this topic, but God, he just keeps talking about knowing him in the spirit, knowing him, because God is spirit. God doesn't, we think we know God in our natural mind. Oh, I know God ain't going to mind if I do this, and God ain't going to mind. That's not the truth. God wants us to come to know him in spirit, because guess what? When we die and we leave these bodies, okay, we get our glorified bodies, but we're going to be spirit. We're going to be spirit, because that's who God is. Okay, we're going to be spirit. Let me tell you something. I read this article because I was doing some research, and I read this article that just, like, kind of, took me into a whole nother place. Well, my husband was talking about on last week when we was talking about the lies that Satan tells. We were talking about, you know, limbo, because my sister had mentioned something about, you know, being in limbo or whatever it was, the word that she used. And my husband began talking about limbo and purgatory, you know, where you go when you die, and this, that, and the third. And I read this article that just really, I was like, because I couldn't understand, like, where y'all talking about purgatory and limbo and all this other stuff, praying for the dead. And I was reading this article, and I was like, Lord, people really do believe these things. They really believe that, you know, there's a limbo, and you can pray the dead out of limbo. I said, God, what kind of foolishness is this? But again, this is head knowledge. We got to come to understand God in spirit, and we got to get the word of God in us. We have to crucify our flesh, and we have to tell our flesh, listen, I need you to sit down and shut up, flesh. This is what I need you to do. I'm going to come to know God by the spirit. I'm not going to come to know God by what I think, what the pastor thinks, what any man thinks, but what the Spirit of God thinks. And we have to come to know him in spirit. God is spirit. We keep trying to understand God in the flesh. That's why it's so hard for us to crucify our flesh, because we're trying to know God from our natural understanding, and we will never know God. We will never know him from our natural understanding, because guess what? When we die, this natural body, this body we lived in is corrupted. This world we lived in is corrupted. That's why it's going to be a new heaven and earth, because this world is just corrupted. When sin entered the world, everything got corrupted because sin entered the world, okay? So if we're thinking, okay, well, when we die, everything's going to be cozy, you know. No, we gotta get it. We got to start getting it right now. We're not going to reach perfection until we get out of here anyway. But we got to do what we need to do so that we can make sure that when we do get out of here, that we're going to the right place, number one, okay? But we need to come to know God in the spirit. If I asked you right now, do you really know God in the spirit, what would your answer be? What would your answer be if I asked you right now if you really knew God in the spirit? If you really know God in the spirit. Because if we really know God in the spirit, some of the stuff that we do, we wouldn't be doing it. If we really knew God in the spirit, we wouldn't be doing the things that we do. Some of the stuff we do, would be canceled out. It wouldn't even be a factor. It wouldn't even be it wouldn't be a problem if we really knew God in the spirit, if we really worshiped God in the spirit. Paul said, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the next verse says, God forbid. The beginning of verse 2 says, God forbid. No, we shall not continue in sin so grace may abound. We need to repent, and we need to repent. We need to go to God and just tell God, look, I've been playing you, God. I really ain't been playing you. I've been playing myself, because I've been using my human reasoning to continue to do what I'm doing, because my human reasoning is telling me that you're going to be all right with what I'm doing, because you understand that we're human. God has given us the opportunity to know him in spirit and in truth. He has given us the opportunity to get to know him more, but we don't want to do it because our human reasoning tells us that everything else is more important to do than us getting to know God in the spirit. Our human reasoning tells us that we got to spend our days doing everything else in the natural and neglecting our spirit. That's why our flesh man gets advantage over us, because that's what we feed most of the day. We feed our flesh. That's why it's hard for some people to stop doing what they do, because we don't give equal or more time. We should give more time, not equal time to, but we should give more time to the things of the spirit than we do of the flesh. We should give more time, okay, to studying the word of God. I didn't say reading the word of God. More time to studying the word of God. More time to sitting in God's presence, you know, with just talking to God, and not even so much talking to him all the time, but hearing what God says. But we can't hear what God says because we're not in the spirit. We want to hear this person. We want to hear that person. We want to know this one. No, but in our natural minds, we're not going to be able to receive the things of God. Whether you're a sinner or not, we already know the sinner man is foolishness. The things of God are foolishness to him. The things of God are foolishness to the people of the world, because they're in blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says they're blinded by the god of this world. It says Satan has blinded them. The god of this world has blinded them, so they're not going to understand the things of God. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. God wants us to come to him in spirit. We've been serving God on a very, 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 very limited basis. We have been trying to approach a holy God with our finite thinking. We've been trying to approach a holy God, going to him with our ideas, going to him with what we're going to do, going to him with what we're going to say, going to him with, God, you're going to accept this, instead of us approaching a holy God in the spirit. Instead of us approaching a holy God in the spirit. spirit. We've been taking the filthiness of our flesh trying to get into the presence of God. We've been taking, you know, our thoughts and our reasoning, trying to get into the presence of God. And we wonder why our lives are messed up. We wonder why our lives are not taking, you know, going into a better direction. We're wondering why things are not happening as we suppose they should be happening, because we've been trying to worship God in our flesh. We've been trying to worship God according to our natural understanding. And God is letting me know tonight that we got to come out of our natural understanding and seek God in the spirit, because God is spirit. God is spirit. And the things that we need to obtain from God, we can only obtain them in the spirit. Nothing in this natural world is going to help us get us closer to God. We got to approach the holy God. We have to approach the holy God in truth and righteousness. We got to approach the holy God in the spirit. In the spirit. Oh, I can't stop doing this and I can't stop. You are right. You cannot stop doing that. Because the natural, the flesh, okay, there's no good thing in the flesh. But once you begin to seek God in the spirit, hallelujah, in the spirit, things will begin to change. God, I need you in the name of Jesus to help us to hear what your spirit is saying on us tonight. God, we don't want to hear out of our natural minds, but God, we want to hear out of the spirit so that we can be delivered from whatever it is we need to be delivered from, so that we can be set free from anything that is trying to destroy us, from the yokes of bondage, any bondage in our lives. God, we want to be set free from the bondage, Lord God, whatever family root, Lord God, whatever thing from our family that's from our descendants that's holding us back. God, we want to be delivered, but we want to come to you in the spirit, God, so you can help us, because our natural minds have us bound. Some of us are not even bound by a whole bunch of hocus pocus and, you know, all this other stuff. We are bound because we're stuck in our natural minds and refuse to come out of our natural minds and refuse to seek God in the spirit and refuse to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we're stuck. That's why we can't get further than where we're going, than where we are right now. That's why, because we keep trying to worship God out of our natural minds. And he's saying to us, you can't do it. You can't worship God out of your natural mind. It's not working. If you look back over your life and look at how you've been trying to worship God out of your natural mind, you'll see why things haven't been happening. We cannot act like we're serving God. God's not fooled, okay? God is not fooled. All right, God knows when we got masks on. He knows when we're trying to say things to impress people. He knows when we're trying to do things to impress people. God knows when we're trying to pimp him. He knows when we just want to, you know, come to him because we need something right now. He knows that, you know, if we go to God and we say, God, if you do this for me, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. He knows that we're lying most of the time when we say that. He knows that as soon as he bless us, whatever he bless us with, that we're going to forget about him. Why? Because we're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We're not understanding God through the spirit. We're trying to understand God with our finite minds, and God is trying to bring us out of that finite mindset tonight. If you are listening to this broadcast, whenever you're listening to it, if you're live on the phone, if you're live in the chat room, or if you're listening to this in the archives, God says he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, and he wants us to acknowledge him in the spirit, and he wants us to approach him as a holy God. He don't want us to approach him as that, you my homeboy. He wants us to approach him as a holy God, because that's who he is. That's who he is. He's a holy God. A holy God. a holy God. And we have to approach God as a holy God. We got to approach him as a righteous God. We got to approach him as, God, look, I know you're God. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are everything that was created. You did this, God. You did this. And we need to approach him as a holy God. Not as our homeboy, because he's not our homeboy. But we can go to him and be real. We can go to God and we can talk to God and we can tell God, you know, this is going on and that is going on and, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. Okay? But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. God is a holy God. He's a holy God. He is a holy God. And we need to get back to understanding who God is, because he is a holy God. God's not on our level. He's not on our level. And one of the problems that we have as human beings is that we want to reduce God to our level. And even though God created us, how can we be on the level of him if he is the creator? How can we be on his level? He's the creator. We'll never actually be on God's level, but he wants us to know him in the spirit. He wants us to know him in the spirit. He wants us to be so close to him that the very thought of sin makes us sick. Every time we get ready to do something wrong, that we'll check our flesh and say, oh, no, flesh, you're coming under subjection. But we can't check our flesh and bring our flesh under subjection if we don't begin to train ourselves to worship God in spirit and in truth, begin to come to know God in the spirit. We just read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that we can't understand God. We in our natural minds, we can't understand him. The scripture says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. The things of God are spiritually discerned. And we cannot understand spiritual things in our natural mind. We can't. We cannot understand natural, spiritual things in our natural minds. The Bible tells us that our flesh is an enemy of God. Our flesh is enmity against God. We're enemies of God when we operate in the flesh. Shall I say it again? The Bible tells us that the carnal mind is the enemy of God. You say, I'm not God's enemy. If we live in the flesh, walk in the flesh, abide by the flesh, yes, we are God's enemy. Why? Because the natural man cannot please God. This is why I said in the last broadcast, and I've said it in several broadcasts before, we need to read Romans chapter 8 and we need to read Romans chapter 6. We need to read Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8, and we need to read it, 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 and we need to read it until we get it in our spirit. We're so used to feeding our natural man. Well, there's nothing wrong with looking at a little bit of Jerry Springer. It's nothing wrong with looking at a little. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is something wrong with looking at a little bit of that, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You say, well, I'm not sleeping around. No, but you're opening the door for sin to come in. Opening the door for sin to come in. But we talked about that on the last broadcast. So if you want to understand what we were talking about, go back into the archives and listen to the broadcast from November the 12th, 2011, and you'll understand what I'm talking about from there. But we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8 right now. Romans chapter 8. And I'm so used to reading the King James Version. That's where I get my understanding because I'm so used to studying the King James Version. And it's, let me say this, it's very important, I believe, okay, I'm speaking out of my natural mind right here, but I believe that it's important to read the King James Version as well as an easy-to-read version, because when you're in church or when you're in Bible study or you're listening to other people and they're reading the scripture, and it might not, it's not going to sound the same because it's broken down into, you know, today's English. So I would advise you to read the King James Version as well as whatever translation you're looking to study. Okay? So let's read Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read it out of this New Living Translation. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus, who belong to Christ Jesus, for the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. Okay. That was in the New Living Translation. The King James Version says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The King James in verse 2 of Romans chapter 8 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay? Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, y'all write this down, okay, Romans 8, verse 5 in particular, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Okay? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay? Verse 6, please write this down. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, please write this down. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 8, that was. Romans 8, chapter 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans chapter 8, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. I hope you heard that. I'm going to read it out the other version. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans chapter 8. And it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit
think about things that please the spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. I didn't write that, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I didn't write it, though. So, if you are on the phone line and if you'd like to get on, please press 1. If you're in the chat room, if you'd like to give a question or a comment, please do so. All right. And I thank God for my husband because he's been typing away in the chat room, I see. I'm just now returning back to the chat room, but I see that he's been typing away, and praise God. And what God is wanting us to know on tonight, that he wants us to get to know him in the spirit. Come out of head knowledge. Come out of trying to reason with God, with our natural understanding. Come out of I thought, and come into understanding who God is, because God is spirit. And we keep trying to understand God with our natural minds. And our natural minds are just that, our natural minds. But this scripture just told us, those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. What do you mean when you say that, those that are still under the control of their sinful nature? If you're still doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, you're being controlled by your sinful nature. Okay? If God says, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, but every time you turn around, you out there doing everything that goes against the word of God, you're being led by your flesh. If God says pray and you say, I don't feel like praying right now, or we put everything else in front of what God wants, you're being led by your sinful nature. You're being led with being disobedient, being rebellious. I mean, what easier way can we say to break it down? It's just like if we tell our children to do something and they don't do it. We get upset, and we want to put them on punishment. You know, we want to, you know, take away some of their privileges, take away some of their fun, because they don't want to listen and they don't want to do what we tell them to do. And when they operate in, when their children are operating in rebellion and disobedience, it hurts you. It makes you angry. It makes you upset. And we begin to say things to them like, see, You just don't listen. You don't listen. And because you're not listening to me, now you got to deal with the consequences. You're not pleasing me in your disobedience and your rebellion. Now, I told you to clean the kitchen. I said, go in there and clean the kitchen. But you didn't clean the kitchen. You're operating out of what you want to do. Okay, now since you've operated in what you want to do, now you got to deal with the consequences of operating in what you want to do. well, Mom, I didn't think it was important for me to wash the dishes right then. I was going to get to them, but it wasn't, what was the hurry? Why you needed to me to wash the dishes right then? Because I told you to. As simple as that, because I told you to. But you want to operate out of your own understanding, and your own understanding told you that it wasn't important for you to wash the dishes right then. Your own understanding told you that, you know, it doesn't matter what Mommy is saying right now. Just go on and do your own thing. Your own understanding told you that. And now, because your own understanding told you that, now you got to deal with the consequences of listening to your own understanding. And this is the same thing it is with God. We, God tell us to do something, we want to reason it away. We want to act like it's not important. We want to do it later or don't do it at all. Why? Because we don't really know God. We don't really know him in the spirit. We don't really know him. We don't really honor him as being God. We don't approach him as a holy God. We approach him like, you know, like our kids want to approach us like we're their friends. Like we, you know, we homies. We got it like that. You know, we buddies. You know, we can come, you know, I can come to you and talk to you. Nah. God is a holy God. He's a holy God, and he wants us to approach him that way. God wants us to approach him as a holy God. See, we begin to come, we begin, just like our children, we begin to get disrespectful towards God because we treat him like he our homeboy. We treat God like, you know, it's all that in the bag of chips. No, and when our children begin to treat us like we're their friends, they start disrespecting us. They lose respect for us and be like, you know, it's all good. You know, I could go to my mom's or my dad's like that. You know, it's all good. No, it's not. It's not okay to go to God that way. He's saying, no, it's not okay to approach me like that. I'm a holy God. It's not okay for you to come to me any kind of way you want to. It's not okay for you to disobey me and walk in rebellion and think that I'm going to bless you. It's not okay because I'm a holy God. I'm not on your level. I'm trying to get you to come up to my level. But because you're operating in your flesh, you can't even come up to my level. You can't even come and approach me in holiness because you're trying to worship me. You're trying to serve me. You're trying to treat me like I'm flesh and blood. I'm not flesh and blood. I'm spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when we come out of trying to serve God and trying to approach God in our flesh, and in our finite minds, when we begin to say, God, I want to know you in spirit. I want to know you by the spirit. I want to know you, not out of my finite mind, but I want to know you by the Holy Spirit, what you gave me. You gave me your Holy Spirit. I want to know you. Come, Holy Spirit, teach me about my God. Teach me about my God. Teach me about the Holy God. So that I can be holy even as he is holy. That's why we can't live holy, because we're operating out of our finite minds. We're operating out of our humanity. And we got to remember that we are a triune spirit, just like God. We are just like Jesus was when he walked this earth. Jesus was spirit. He had a soul and he lived in a body. But he was without sin. God is God, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's all of that. But God wants us to come to him out of our reborn spirit. He wants our reborn spirit, man, to connect with his spirit. We're trying to connect with a holy, infinite God with our unclean, finite minds. And God wants us to come out of our finite minds and come into him in the spirit, because it's our spirit man that's reborn. It's our spirit man that was dead. It was our spirit man that was dead in trespasses and sin, because when we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Our spirit man was dead. Our spirit was separated from God because of the sin, because of the fall of Adam. Our spirit was separated from God. And people say, well, why are we born in sin and shaped in iniquity? We're separated from God. Because of what happened in the garden, because of the fall of our first father, Adam. So we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But when we come to God, when we say, God, I realize that I'm a sinner. God, I realize that I have been, according to your word, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I realize, God, that when I was born of my natural mother and dad, that I was separated from you. My spirit man was dead because of the sin that was came into this world. My spirit man was dead. But when I came to you and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you breathed into me again the breath of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You wakened up my spirit man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You quickened my spirit man, and now I'm alive unto you, God. Now I'm alive unto you. Now I can come into the knowledge of who you are, but I got to do it by my spirit. God, train me. Teach me how to come into the knowledge of who you are by my spirit. See, we walk around and we forget about that we are a spirit and that we can only worship God in spirit and in truth. We walk around and try to worship God in our natural minds, and God saying, enough is enough. Come out of your natural mind and worship me. Paul asked a question. He asked two questions. What then? Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answered the question in the first part of verse 2 and said, God forbid. God forbid. See, but that's what the flesh does. That's what the finite mind does. The finite mind wants to continue in sin and then reason and say God understands because he knows that's who I am and that's how I am. And my mama was like that. My daddy was like that. And this and that. No, uh-uh. God not trying to operate and talk to you based on your gene value. He's not trying to operate and talk to you and minister to you based on, you know, well, then my mama, I got this part of my mama and I got this part of my daddy. No, he's not worrying about your spirit, your natural daddy and your natural mama. He's worrying about your born-again spirit. And if you're on this broadcast tonight listening and you know that you've been operating out your flesh, and I know I've said it too many times, this is just the way I am, God understands. I've said that myself. But tonight, God is going to hold us accountable because we've heard this word. And God's going to hold us accountable to begin to operate in the spirit and stop operating out of our own human understanding. When we read the word of God, say, God, your word is spirit and your word is life. And God, I want to understand your word by the spirit. Anything that I thought about your word in my human reasoning and my human understanding, God, I don't want to understand it in my human reasoning anymore. I want to understand your word in the spirit because your word is spirit and your word is life. God, I'm continuing to sin. I know, God, that your word just said, I heard that woman read your word, and she said, those that continue in the flesh cannot please God. Those that live by the flesh cannot please God, can never please God. God, I'm still fighting. I'm still cursing. I'm still sleeping around. I'm still lying. I'm still stealing. I'm still backbiting. I'm still drinking. I'm still prostituting. God, I'm still doing drugs. Whatever the case is, you can go to God and you can tell God, God, I'm murdering people with my mouth. God, I'm doing all kind of things that's not pleasing to you, God. I done blasphemed you, Lord God. I done been rebellious, Lord God. I've been disobedient, Lord God. I've been a whoremonger, God. With all of this stuff I continue to do since I've called on Jesus as my Lord. But God, tonight I repent. God, tonight I'm telling you that I've been walking in my flesh. I've been trying to get by. I've been trying to do this thing in my flesh. But God, I realize on tonight that I must worship you. I must worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. I understand on tonight that I cannot longer walk in my human reasoning and please you at the same time, oh God. God, tonight I'm asking you to wash me whiter than snow. I'm asking you to cleanse me, Lord God, because my version of cleansing wasn't right, Lord God. I'm asking you, Lord God, to clean me, Lord God. I submit to you, my spirit man, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Watch you see a change come, but it can't be something that we just do on tonight. We got to say this thing every day. God, I want to be led by your spirit today. God, I want to know you in the spirit today, mighty God. I want to please you in the spirit today, oh God, because this word just told me that they that are in the flesh can never please God. And I realize, God, that if I'm not pleasing you, if I'm not pleasing you, then I'm not doing anything worthwhile. Yeah, I got to work. Yeah, I got to take care of my children. yeah, I got to take care of this and I got to take care of that. Yeah, I got to do all of that. But none of that stuff that I say I got to do in my humanness, I can't, none of that has anything to do with me going to heaven. Yes, I'm on an usher board. Yes, I'm on a choir. Yes, I'm on a deacon board. Yes, I feed the hungry. Yes, I give clothes to the homeless. Yes, I do this and yes, I do that. But God, if I'm not even doing that in the spirit, it don't matter. It don't matter. It might matter to the people that's getting clothes and getting food, but God, what you think about it? I don't want to operate out of my flesh. I don't want to operate out of my flesh. I want to operate out of my spirit because your word just told me that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Your word just told me that the natural mind is an enemy of God. I don't want to be your enemy no more after tonight. Oh, God, I don't want to be your enemy no more after tonight. I don't want to be your enemy anymore, Lord. Please, please, whatever I've been doing, God, here I am. If you got to get on the floor and lay prostrate on the floor, just you and God, just you and God. And let me tell you something. Can I say this? When we begin to walk in the spirit, when we begin to crucify this flesh, when we begin to kill this flesh and tell this flesh to sit down and shut up, you will not have control anymore because I have the mind of Christ and I will walk in the spirit and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Watch Satan pop up and pop up everywhere you turn around. He's going to be in your face. He's going to do everything he can do to try to discourage you. He's going to lie. He's going to try to make you feel guilty. He's going to try to do all this stuff. But you got to stand on what you know because guess what? In the end, who you got to answer to? You got to answer to the Holy God. The Holy God. The Holy God. We've been trying to approach a Holy God with filthy rags on. We've been trying to approach a Holy God with dirty garments on. We've been trying to approach a Holy God in our flesh. And God is saying, come out of your flesh. You can't know me in your flesh. You can't know me in my flesh, in your flesh, because I'm not flesh. This is God. I'm not. God saying he's not flesh, and he's not flesh. He's not flesh. God is spirit. We got to come out of our flesh and stop thinking about us being in our flesh and come and start worshiping God in the spirit. And if you don't know how, just ask him. Just ask him. I'm telling you. Woo! Jesus, I had to preach my own self to myself, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God tonight gave me so much joy and excitement. I'm so excited on tonight because he answered a question for me. You got to come out of the natural mind to receive the things of God. The natural man can't receive the things of God. I've been stuck because I've been trying to understand things from out of my own natural mind and my own natural reasoning. I know people listening on the line and people in the archives, you've probably been doing the same thing, trying to understand God in your natural mind and your natural reasoning. But God has given us another chance on tonight, and he's saying, come to me in the spirit. Come to me. I will teach you. I will teach you about myself. God is not like us, and we're fair weather. He's not like us. God wants us to come to get to know him. Why? Because he got a mansion waiting for us. He got work for us to do in that new heaven and that new earth that he's creating. He got a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. We're not going to that place in our human minds. We're not going to that place in this filthy flesh. We're not going to that place. That's a holy place. A holy place. If you don't know God in the spirit on tonight, I'm inviting you right now to come along with me to enter into a new way of thinking, enter into a new way of life. And that new way of life is walking in the Spirit. You know, that scripture makes so much more sense now. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But when you put that scripture, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, with Romans chapter 8 that we just read, and read verse 8, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful flesh, of their sinful nature, can never please God. Well, God understands. God understands. I'm not going to get there as fast as you did, but God understands. It don't take all of that. It don't take. Nah, it don't take all of that. Why are you saying it? Yes, it takes all of that and then some. It takes all of that and then some. They that are after the flesh cannot please God. When we operate out of our flesh, we're acting as God's enemy. OMG. When we operate out of the flesh, we're acting like God's enemy. My Lord. Romans chapter 8. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature cannot please God. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature cannot please God. Go down to verse 26 in the same chapter. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what to pray for, not how we should pray. I'm going to read that again. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. The Holy Spirit pleads for us believers. He pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So the Holy Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit of God is praying the will of God. The Spirit of God is not praying, oh, God, I want her husband, or God, I want his wife. That the Holy Spirit, if you pray in those kind of prayers, that's not the Holy Spirit of God. You definitely know you in your flesh. If you're praying more to God about seeking things, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to pray and constantly be in God's face asking God to give you things. The Holy Spirit is going to be in God's face asking God to give us more of God's Spirit and asking God to help us. Okay, we need to do the will of God, to help us to get a new mindset. See, we don't want to read the Word of God because we know the Word of God is going to change us. We don't want to read the Word of God, so we busy ourselves with everything else. We do everything else but read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. When the Word of God tells us to meditate on the Word day in and day out, then we'll make our way prosperous. Then we'll be successful. But we don't want to meditate on the Word of God. We want to do everything else but meditate on the Word of God. And then we get 24 hours in a day. And we spend most of that time doing everything else, and we wonder why we're still walking in the flesh. We wonder why we're an enemy of God. You say, I'm a Christian. I'm not an enemy of God. If your flesh is dominating you and you're obeying your flesh, you are an enemy of God. Call a spade a spade. If you are allowing your flesh to dominate you, your flesh led by everything you say, your flesh led by everything you do, you continuously living in sin, I mean a lifestyle of sin every time you turn around. If you're not doing the same sin, you're constantly doing something else, you're dominated by your flesh. And the word of God says those that are in the flesh cannot please God, cannot please God. There's no way around it. If we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. We're an enemy of God. Israel Houghton sings a song, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. But if we're living in the flesh and walking in the flesh and obeying the flesh, God is not calling you his friend. If we're living in the flesh, obeying the flesh, walking in the flesh, giving flesh first place in our lives, we are not a friend of God. The latest new word around is frenemy. Oh, that's my frenemy. We're friends one day and enemies the next day. Look, if you're an enemy of God, you're an enemy of God. If you're walking in the spirit, he can call you a friend. He can call you a son. He can call you a child. He can call you that. But if we're living in the flesh and we're an enemy of God, you think he's going to call us his friend? He kicked his enemy out of heaven. And a third of the angels went with him. Bye, boy. I bless the Lord on tonight because he is so awesome. God is so, so awesome that he would even see fit to give us another chance to begin to walk in the Spirit. We ought to be thankful to God. We ought to be thankful to God, the Holy God. The Holy God. We ought to be thankful to him on tonight that he gave us this word, that he's given us another chance to begin to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. We ought to be grateful to the Holy God for allowing us another chance. We ought to be. But some of us, we're going to hang up from the broadcast. We're going to log out of the chat room. We're going to click off the archives and be like, I don't want to hear this anymore. We're going to go back to living just like we were living. Unholy, unrighteous, but still, say I'm a child of God. Call a spade. If you're going to live holy, live holy. If we're going to live holy, we need to live holy every day. We need to walk in the Spirit of God every day, not when it's convenient. Or when I get around so-and-so, I'm going to act like this, but when I get around so-and-so, I'm going to act like that. One thing about me I can say is that people know me. The way I act at church, the way I act at home, I act at church. I'm not going to say the way I act at church, I act at home, because I don't get into praise at home like I do at church. So I'm not going to say that. I'm calling a spade, okay? So we might as well just call a spade because God knows anyway. See, we don't have to go to the priest anymore. We don't have to go to the priest and say, priest, I need you to pray for me. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go to the priest and then they tell us to say, however many Hail Marys, and then we're going to be okay. We got full access to God. We have full access to the Holy God. We have full access to Him. And we can just repent. We can say, God, I'm sorry. I sinned. Against you only have I sinned. We can say that to God. And then we can repent and say, God, I've sinned. Against you only have I sinned. But now, God, I repent. I'm going to stop lying. From tonight on, I'm not going to tell another lie. Because, God, I'm getting to know you in the spirit, because that's who you are. You are spirit. And after tonight, I'm not going to lie no more. After this broadcast, I'm not lying anymore. After this broadcast, I'm not going to use my mouth to say anything that is against you, whether it be backbiting, whether it be lying, whether it be cursing, whatever it is. Lord, after tonight, I'm not going to steal anything else, because your word tells me that those that stole, let them steal no more. But let me use my hands for something good, and I'm going to use my hands for something good. Lord, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. After listening to this word, this is your word, God. I'm going to present my body to you, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, holy God, which is my reasonable service. And I will not be conformed to this world, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. According to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, I'm going to subdue this flesh. I'm going to kill this flesh. I'm going to crucify this flesh. When Jesus went to that cross, his flesh was crucified. His flesh was crucified. But his flesh was crucified for us. And if God could send his only begotten son to die on our behalf, can't we die for him? Can't we crucify our flesh for him? Can't we say, you know what, person in my life, you are not worth my relationship with God. You are not worth me being an enemy of God. Your threats, your attitude is not worth my relationship with God. If you living, I don't care if you living with somebody or you not. With television, you are not worth my relationship with God. You are not worth my relationship with God, television. Jerry Springer, you're not worth my relationship with God. Marvy, you're not worth my relationship with God. L Word, you're not worth my relationship with God. NeNe Leakes, you are not worth my relationship with God. You are not worth me being an enemy of God. I'm not saying that you're not worth anything. I'm saying that my soul is going to be required of me one day. And when my soul is required of me one day, I want to make sure that I know who God is. I want to make sure I know who God is. Because if I don't know God right here in this flesh, how I'm going to know him? If I don't know him while I'm down here on this earth and don't get to know God in spirit, how are you going to have a relationship with us? We just want him to let us into heaven any old kind of way. I hear the song playing in my head saying, beat it, beat it. What do you think God going to say? Come on in. No, beat it. No, depart from me. We have less than 5 minutes left on this broadcast. I want to say on Wednesday, November the 16th, on the day of our granddaughter's 10th birthday, my husband, Bishop Scott, will be on the line teaching about who is Lord of your life. What is Lord? What does the word Lord mean? Is Jesus really your Lord? What does it mean to say Jesus is Lord? If it's the Lord's will, he will be on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be on only to moderate. You might hear my voice a little bit, but this is going to be his broadcast on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Please, if you can, tune in. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you need prayer, if you need any of the Bible verses that we went over, you are more than welcome to go into the archives and listen to this broadcast. You are more than welcome to contact me on Facebook. I will respond. I may not respond immediately, but I will respond. Glory to God. I hope and pray that something was said on tonight that got you to thinking and gave you a better understanding about some things. I didn't know the broadcast was going to go this way, but I'm glad it did. I'm glad it did. So before we leave this broadcast tonight, remember the words of Romans 6, chapter 1. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And also remember Romans chapter 8, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Just read the whole chapter. Read Romans 6. Read 1 Corinthians 2. Okay? If you need help with any scriptures, you can reach me on Facebook, Teresa Scott. There's two Teresa Scotts. Both of them are me. One is Teresa God is Making Me Over Again Scott, and the other one is Teresa Scott. But Teresa God is Making Me Over Again Scott, that's the one I use. So if you need to contact me, you can contact me on that one. If you would like to contact my husband, Bishop Scott, on Facebook, he goes as G-Man Scott. Okay, I'm sure if you look up Gerald Scott, you will be able to find him. But he is going under G-Man Scott on Facebook. My sister and I are still answering to the homeless by giving out hats, socks, gloves. We're still looking for donations in the Philadelphia area of coats, footwear, scarves, long johns, anything that pertains to cold weather, because these people are outside living on the streets. If you can be of assistance to us, we would appreciate it. Please contact myself, Teresa Scott on Facebook, or Shirley Moore on Facebook. You can also contact my husband, Gerald Scott, on Facebook if you have donations or any suggestions where we can get these things from for the homeless people living on the streets in Philadelphia. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. And remember, when you get off the broadcast, to pray so Satan will not come and steal this word from you. Okay? In Jesus' name, I thank God for you. I thank you for your support. Just a face. Thank you, sweetie. I love you. Shirley, I love you, honey. You know I love you. All right. God bless you, everybody on the phone lines, and those of you in the archives, God bless you. Look forward to hearing from you and speaking with you in the future. God bless you, and good night.